Dear listener, we hope that you've been enjoying the variety of podcasts that we have on our network. Now is your opportunity to help us by telling us a little more about you. Please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey and complete our listener survey so that we can learn more about you and your listening habits. Again, please visit jcastnetwork.org/survey. Thanks so much.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show for you today. We hope you're having a good week so far. It's only Sunday morning, after all. In this half hour of the show, we'll be featuring an interview concerning the Jewish Book Fair ongoing at the JCC, even as we speak for this whole week, with the Book Fair's own Beth Robinson. She's the one directing it. We have lots of wonderful music throughout the show. The portion of the week is the portion of Lech Lecha, the story of Abraham the patriarch, which can be found in Genesis chapter 12 and following. We have it's a really fantastic story at the end involving the Lubavitcher Rebbe and one of his Hasidim. And this one is like really eye-opening. Stay tuned all the way to the end, folks. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Palestinian teenager who murdered Daphne Meir, a mother of six in her West Bank home, was sentenced to life in prison. The teen was 16 at the time of the murder. The court also recommended that no early release be given due to the unusually cruel nature of the crime. There were 13 incidents of attempted terrorism in Jerusalem and the West Bank this week. No one was injured in any of the attempts. Here's some, like, Go Blue type news. The first two F-35 stealth fighter jets built by Lockheed Martin will be delivered on schedule to Israel next month. The F-35 is the most advanced military jet in the world. 33 jets will be delivered to Israel by 2021. A new updated Yiddish dictionary was published by Indiana University Press. With more than 50,000 entries, we now officially have words like Blitzpost for email, Tselke for cell phone, and Tsipperl for Twitter. And finally, and what could have been one of the most historic baseball games in decades, a Lubavitcher Chassid, Rabbi Daniel Eliff of DansDeals.com, threw out the ceremonial first pitch, Game 7 of the 2016 World Series in Cleveland. Eliff is a credit card points and travel expert and amassed millions of points. He bid $1 million for the Starwood Hotel competition, which makes me understand why is it that Starwood Hotel was in charge of the ceremony first pitch, but no one saw it on television. He did a great job. He almost actually reached the catcher, and well, we know the Cubs won. Yay. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have Detroit's own Beth Robinson, director of the Jewish Book Fair, ongoing now at the JCC. How are you today, Beth?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, thank God. Okay, so it says that this is the 65th annual Jewish book fair, so that means it started 50, 65 years ago. Why is there still a Jewish book fair? People are reading Kindles, and there's like, you know, book sales are bookstores are closing. So what's the deal? Why is there still a Jewish book fair, Beth?
Well, two things. One, people are not actually replacing their Kindles. People are reading books. The statistics are telling us that the number of books being purchased, people are still reading. Most people are still reading books. They're not reading electronic devices. But the real reason that there's a book fair is because this is a unique opportunity for people who like to read, however they like to read, to hear an author speak. So somebody who has invested a huge amount of time and energy and, you know, invested their life into telling a story or telling a, or giving us information comes here, and we get to meet them and we get to ask them questions and we get to hear this great story, not just the book that they wrote, but their personal story in writing the book. So it's a really, for people who like to read anything, and we have books about everything, it's a great opportunity to come hear experts and artists, and it's you know, you don't get that anyplace else.
Okay, that's understood. Were you involved with the book fair last year?
I was not.
Oh, so I don't know if you can answer the following bunch of questions, because I was going to ask, comparably speaking, how have the book fairs progressed as far as, say, like sales of books and attendance of speakers, for example?
Well, I'll tell you that I think that the World Series was, you know, that was a tough one.
That killed Thursday, eh?
But actually, we had Robert Watson.
Oh, it was Wednesday, excuse me. Yes.
Yeah, and he was so fabulous, and people know him and they love him, and we actually had a really well-attended event, and I don't know who was home watching the game because everybody was here. But it wasn't a sellout, so maybe that was because of the game. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, when people did start reading electronically, we saw some drops in book sales historically. But since then, it hasn't continued to plummet. It's actually stayed about the same. So it took a little bit of a hit, but then the people who like to read books kept reading them. I think that the big thing that affects attendance is, one, whether or not we have great authors coming. So it's our job to deliver something that's really exciting to people, and a lot of different things that are really exciting to a lot of different people. We had Jonathan Safran Foer last night, and again, place was packed. He was spectacular. It was a wonderful event. So as long as we, you know, as a community have the will to continue providing the resources to keep bringing great writers like Robert Watson and Jonathan Safran Foer in, we're going to have a great book fair.
Okay, indeed. You're just segueing into my next question. If you could give us some of the highlights of who are going to be like the speakers. Like if I have to come, say, like if I can only come like once between now and next week when the book fair is over, who would you say would be like the go-to lecture to go hear?
So what do you like to hear about is the question, because we have the go-to speaker for whatever you like to hear about. I mean, that's a really hard one for me to pick, although I would say, I really can't answer that question. I would say to go to jccdet.org/bookfair and look at all of it. And, we have great fiction. We have great children's books. We have history. We have Israel. We have Holocaust. There's really, you would have to tell me what you like for me to answer that question.
Okay, fair enough. I like everything, so I guess I should come to everyone.
Well, then you better get over here and stay.
I can sleep on one of the couches right there in the lobby.
You can sleep in my office.
Oh, thank you so much.
But in the interest of full disclosure, it's become the dumping ground for empty cardboard boxes.
Oh, I see. Okay. So let's see. Now, since people have an attention span, we don't know how long. So today's Sunday. And the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, today's Sunday. And the show will go until 12. So what's happening today that people might be able to get to, say, from 1 p.m. on, that might be interesting to them?
Oh, my God. Today is going to be great. We have children's books at the Shalom Street Museum at the JCC. Great program with one of our PJ Library authors, Shmulek Paints the Town, which we're going to do a little painting project for the kids. And then Motion Ace, which is a beautiful children's book about a relationship, an intergenerational relationship. Rabbi Benjamin Shalva, who happens to be the rabbi at Tamarack Camps, is going to come in and do spiritual cross-training with an all-ages audience. So everybody's going to learn about searching through silence, stretch, and song. Adina Hoffman is coming in at 4 o'clock to talk about Until We Have Built Jerusalem, Architects of the New City. And this is about three architects from very different backgrounds who contributed to modern Jerusalem. And then Kenneth Marcus at 6 o'clock is talking about the definition of anti-Semitism and how it relates to anti-Zionism. And then at 8 o'clock, Hanan Tige is talking about what was one of my favorite books, which was The Lost Book of Moses, and that's his hunt for the world's oldest Bible. And it's a great story of both an antiquities dealer and somebody who is writing his story. He talks a lot about his own journey. And each of these authors they come in, they talk about their own journeys through these stories. So they're really, it's going to be a great afternoon.
We have to get over there. Now, in years past, when there was a JCC in Oak Park, the book fair extended itself into the Oak Park area.
Yeah.
Has the book fair this year found some sort of venue for the lower 48 peninsula of down here in Oak Park?
We have not. It is something that I would like to look into in future years. This is my first year with the book fair, and I realize that has been a loss to the community out there. We hope that people will, hang with us, come out here this year. And I am very open to some partnerships, so if anybody's listening and you have a great idea, come to me over the next few months, like after November 14th, and let's talk about next year.
Okay, so let's give us the dates and times. How long is the book fair going for? What range of prices can one find books there? What genre, per se, of Jew? Everything seems to be a Jewish book. So if you just run through that very quickly then, Beth.
So we're going through November 13th, we have every genre of book. Our definition of what is a Jewish book fair book is either a Jewish author or a Jewish subject or both. We have everything with children's books, history, memoirs, current events, fiction, lots of great fiction. We have a whole wall of cookbooks, wonderful cookbooks. We're having a cooking demonstration with Ina Pinckney, the Breakfast Queen of Chicago, on Tuesday, November 8th. So take a break from the election. Come and eat chocolate cake and whatever else she's making. And what was the other question?
How many speakers per day are we having generally? What time do speakers start? And when is the last one over?
The schedule is different every day. So again, I really encourage people to go to the website, which has everything on it. But they're starting between 10 and 11 o'clock, and although Thursday is noon, and we have an 8 o'clock pretty much every night. And on the 12th, I want to point out that we have a very special Star Trek program. Mark Altman is talking about his book, The 50-Year Mission, and we're showing For the Love of Spock, which Adam Nimoy made about his father, Leonard Nimoy, and the character of Spock. So that's a fun one.
Those Trekkies, yes.
Oh, the price range of the books.
Yes.
Everything. I mean, every price you can buy a book for, from, I think we have them from $5 up to $50.
Okay, so people should be prepared to come and buy books when they come to the Jewish
book fair. They should. And if they come to the an author's talk, those books are 20% off, and the authors are signing all of them.
Oh, that's a real good deal.
Yeah. And the ones that you missed, if you still want a signed copy, we had them sign a few extras. So if you want to read Jonathan Safran Foer's amazing novel, Here I Am, for example, we might be able to get you a signed copy.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay, we're going to thank you so much and letting us know what's going on, and we'll keep in touch for future book fairs. So again, if people want to find out all information, how do they do that, Beth Robinson?
jccdet.org/bookfair, and come back again in May for the film festival.
Oh, indeed. We'll be back for that, indeed. Okay, well, thank you so much, and continued success.
Great. Thanks so much.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Before we get into the more music, we have a PSA, a public service announcement. The West Bloomfield Jewish Community, I didn't know there was officially something called that, presents a communal Havdalah. That's the ceremony which is done at the conclusion of the Sabbath. Join us for a festive evening celebrated Jewish unity. Enjoy delicious cider and hot soup catered by Milk and Honey, live music and dancing. Create your own Havdalah set. That's next Saturday, November 12th, 7 p.m. at the West Bloomfield JCC. There is no charge. This promises to be a hoot, and it's open to the public. So, if your organization is having an event and would like to have it publicized free of charge, of course, because it's the nature of a public service announcement, send us that information to www.rabbifinman.com. And we'll announce it right here. Up for your listening pleasure. This is Avram Fried, brand new. This is a song called Recalculate.
The other day, I lost my way. Oi, oi, fabled object. I didn't know. Right, left, straight ahead, or turn around. Suddenly, a voice spoke to me. It was music to my ears. It opened my eyes and calmed me down. It was the sweetest word I've heard. The voice said to me, recalculate. Never too late, recalculate. There's always a road to bring you home again. Recalculate. No reason to wait, recalculate. But you'll need an address for your GPS to bring you home, home, home. Home, home, home. Bring you home. The other day, I lost my way. Oi, oi, I blundered. I didn't know.
No.
Oh, right, left, straight ahead, or turn around. Suddenly,
a voice spoke to me.
Oh, it was music to my ears. It opened my eyes. And calm me down.
Ooh.
It was the sweetest word I'd heard. The voice said to me,
recalculate. It's never too late. Recalculate. There's always a road to bring you home again. Recalculate. No reason to wait.
at your destination.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Classic music coming up right now. This is a klezmer piece. It's called the Rebbe Elimelech. I don't know the history of it, and I'm not even sure if the Rebbe Elimelech mentioned in this is Elimelech of Lezhansk. He was the most famous of the Rebbe Elimelechs. But this is Soul of Jewish Music is the name of the band. They've been around for quite a while. I remember they were in the first box of CDs that I received 20 years ago, Soul of Jewish Music, doing various genre of Jewish music. So let's listen to the Rebbe Elimelech.
Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. New. This is brand spanking new. This is half of Detroit's own. The other half is from Chicago, but they're both really from Chicago because they're both from West Rogers Park, which is the name of the group. And this is an old Lubavitch Nick and goes back to the early 1800s, which I suppose that's old. It's Harninu Goyim is the name of the song. I go to a hospital to get healthy. At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shel Finman, who are you listening to the Jewish Hour? We have time for one more. This is a very fascinating piece. I have often maintained that the music of the general masses of humanity, all the folk music, is all interrelated one with the other. And I have posed this to many musicologists, and they look at me like, huh, what? But to my ear, You see a connection between there's Gaelic, klezmer, bluegrass. Here, this is a piece which is a medieval Turkish-Jewish piece. It's called, in Turkish, the translation is Stake in the Ground, which I'm not exactly sure the significance of that because it's an instrumental. There are no words. The group is called Istanpita, which is instead of like Istanbul, Istanpita, which I'm thinking pita might mean bread or something, but I don't know a whole lot about the history of this group per se. But if you're listening to this, this is medieval Turkish Jewish. Tell me, please, at RabbiFinman.com, that listening to this, it doesn't sound like it came right from Dublin. Let's give a listen. You'll be the choice. You'll tell the choice. What did you think of that? That was Istanbul, stake in the ground. It occurred to us, we're sitting discussing this as we're playing it, that if you used electrified instruments, it would probably sound like Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, so music. It's music, you know? People all react the same to music. So, indeed, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Jewish Hour. I am the host for now 20 years now, Herschel Finman. This week is the portion of Lech Lecha. It is found in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis and further. And in this portion, there is detailed the First World War. Now, that may sound somewhat eyebrow-raising because the First World War did not happen in 1914. And with the primary focus on Alsace-Lorraine between Germany and France. But rather, the First World War happens somewhere around the Dead Sea between four kings and five kings. And even though there were only four kings, they beat up on the five kings, and the four kings won. Among the people who were participant with the five kings was Abraham's nephew Lot, who was living at that time in the city of Sodom. He, Lot, was taken captive. He was too old to be fighting in the army, so that saved him probably from getting his head chopped off. But because he was in the city and they captured the city, so they captured everybody in the city, and Lot was taken into slavery. So now what happened is that Abraham gets word that his nephew has been taken captive. So he musters a troop. Now he's going after four armies that just beat up on five armies. So you would think he would need something like six armies to beat up on the four armies, but no. It says that he amassed an assemblage of 318 men. According to one opinion, it was just him and his servant Eliezer who went to go fight, because Eliezer in Hebrew has this numerical value of 318. Either way, I mean, one's a bigger miracle than the other one, yes, but it had to be miraculous that such a small troop was able to vanquish, we're talking vanquish, make them surrender to this troop that Abraham led. What's the deal over here? There's a major theme in Judaism concerning the Bible, that the stories that are told in the Bible are not Bible stories for children, no. Nor are they expression of Jewish history. Nope, that's not what the Bible's for either. Nor is it, we can actually say, God forbid, trivia. Like if you're ever playing religious trivial or Bible trivial pursuit, how many kings did Abraham beat up on in the First World War? You could say, oh, four kings. Yes, you would know. No, it's not just for collecting information. The word Torah means to comes from the word to teach. There are so many words in Hebrew that mean teach. You know, like the Eskimos, they have like 15 words for snow. In Judaism, in Hebrew, there are probably at least a dozen, maybe 15 or so, even more words for the word to teach and to learn, which is the same verb. I teach, you learn. Or as the case may be, it even says that the teacher learns more when he teaches. So we're all learning. So what are we learning from the accounting of this story? It takes up a whole chapter. Chapter 14 of the book of Genesis deals with this whole story. So what do we learn from it? Without breaking it down verse by verse, but just going over the main points. The armies of the five kings were definitely much larger. They were definitely much stronger than the army of the four kings. But yet, what happened? The four kings won. And there's an indication that whoever puts more diligence into the task at hand will be more successful. There's an example is given in some of the books of two people wrestling. You could have a guy, a big heavyweight dude, a giant dude, okay, as one opponent. And the other person being this little skinny guy. If the big guy thinks, no big deal, you know, I'll just stand here. You know, so the little guy knows what he's doing. If he's actually a wrestler, he'll be able to win. And we see that we're getting close to Hanukkah. We just stopped talking about Sukkot. We're talking about Hanukkah. We see that small armies beat big armies lots and lots and lots of times. You know, with the Maccabees and the Greeks and the Vietnamese and the Americans and the Afghanistans and the Russians, the Afghanistans and the United States, the Afghanistans and the Brits. Because it depends on the resolve of the combatants. So now, we have a war going on. Every one of us, we've talked about this war before. We have an innate nature to do good. In Judaism, we believe that people are essentially born good. A one-day-old baby is perfect. It actually says in one of the books, I came across this recently, you know, you have a baby. Somebody walks into a room holding a baby. Suddenly, it's like the baby becomes the focus of the room. Why is that? Baby's very small. It's in his mother's arms. What's the big deal? A baby. Babies haven't sinned. They have pure souls. So we are naturally attracted to the purity, the innocence of a baby. As the person grows, they acquire bad habits. And the bad habits are really usually, they're the most easier ones to do. So how does one correct a bad habit? I was talking with a person recently, someone who I know for many, many, many years. And he's been with the help of a therapist for many years, and he just needed to change therapists. And the therapist told them, by the way, I have a rule that if you have an impulse to do something, you cannot act on the impulse. And this person was thinking, yeah, it's a pretty great thing. And I said, yeah, that sounds like just saying no. I really, 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 really want to do it. But what am I going to do? I'm going to tell myself, no, but I really want to do it. So there's a battle going on over here, especially if it involves some sort of like an addiction or a compulsion, that a person really has the compulsion has the upper hand. I mean, what's the definition of an addict? An addict is a person that the addiction means more to them than basically everything else in the world. So such a person, it's like, how are they just going to, they're just going to stop? There has to be something, as all talked about in AA, the person has to hit bottom before they can go back up. But we don't need to wind up in skid row. This is the lesson from this week's portion, because Avraham was not defeated. He was not at the bottom. He was at the top of his game. Yet here was this major adversary, a formidable opponent. And not only was he able to defeat him, but he was able to vanquish this opponent easily. He basically, with the 318 people, just outmaneuvered them. They wound up running into tar pits. It's a good thing to know the terrain and know where you should be, like, maneuvering, putting the people against you. And if a guy's stuck in a tar pit, he's not going to be trying to, like, drop off your head. He's going to be trying to get out of the tar pits. So we see that a person really, if you put forth effort, the expression in the Talmud is yagaitu matsasitamim. If you put forth the effort, you will succeed. And I can believe that you see succeeded then. At the end of this whole business, the end of chapter 14, the king of Sodom has been restored, and he comes now to Abraham to thank him and says, listen, you take all the money. Let me keep all the people, because a king without a kingdom is no king. So give me back my subjects, which, technically speaking, the way it works in rules, in the rules of war, are that the four kings captured all the people. They became the slaves of the four kings. Abraham beat up on the four kings, captured back all the slaves. So now those people are now, technically speaking, Abraham's slaves. The king says, I want people. You know, give me back people, and you keep the money. So Abraham tells him, listen, I have 318 people that need to get fed. So I'm going to take their pay. Everything else I'm giving back to you. I don't want people to say, and I don't want for sure you to say, that I'm the reason, the king of Sodom is the reason why Abraham is wealthy. And he used a very interesting expression. I will not take not a thread, not a shoelace of anything of yours. It's very poetic. Okay. It says, because of that statement, Abraham's children, meaning us, merited two commandments, the wearing of the tzitzis, the fringes that hang out of our clothes, because those are threads, and the commandment of what happens if a childless widow's brother-in-law does not want to marry her. There's a whole ceremony whereby she takes off her shoes. This is all discussed at the end of in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and that involves the shoe, which, because of him saying, "I'm not taking a shoelace," so he merited to have that mitzvah as well. So we know that every good effort is going to create goodness. In Judaism, we don't believe in reward and punishment. We say every good effort is sure going to go get you some good reward, but that's not the way we roll. If you're doing good, the result will be good will happen. That's what we're learning from this week's portion. There is a war. We can be successful. And the real major reason why we can be successful, the same thing like Adam, it was miraculous. It was because God wanted Abraham to be successful. God didn't put us in these situations in order for us to be defeated. We are in any situation because the Almighty wants us to succeed, to become a stronger, better person. And that's what we have to do. And what do we have to do? We have to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest, bestest way? www.rabbifinman.com. That's RABBIFINMAN.com. You'll be right there on the homepage. You can find the contact me. If I want to make it easy, I hate it when you have to go like looking around. How do I contact? Where? Who? How do I get to this people? So it's right there. It's very easy. What else will you find? Archived editions of the show with the new media player. We now have a year's worth of shows at your disposal. You could just listen to your heart's content. Actually, in contact with somebody who lives on the East Coast who is in the process of remodeling his own basement, and he tells me that he gets about 2 hours a couple of times, 2 hour breaks. He listens to two shows, the current one and someone that from like a long time ago that he hadn't heard yet. So you could do that. Yes, it's all right there. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Chassidic U-Story. There's also classes, all means of conveying ideas of Judaism in a hopefully educational, attainable way. There's also, this is November, the very important donations page. We are on air now in our 21st year. We've been doing this every single week. We make the pledge. You guys were good. Last week, we got 2 weeks. We paid for October. 2 weeks, we didn't have any pledge drive because that's what I promised. If we pay for, as soon as we pay for November, you guys get a longer story. You don't have to listen to me telling you why. You really need to go to rabbifinman.com and go on the donations page. Find the amount there. And just click on it and it goes straight to PayPal. If you have a PayPal account, you type in your address, your email address. It goes from your PayPal to my PayPal, and that takes less than 30 seconds if you have to use a credit card. So it takes you however long it's going to take you to enter that information. But it's always a good thing to know that there is the possibility of continued giving, which means you hit do this monthly, and that amount that you give will now be taken from your credit card on a monthly basis. You don't even have to think about it. You're doing a mitzvah without even knowing, but God knows. I know, and I even acknowledge those people who send me a gift every single month, and there are many. I acknowledge receiving every single one of those. I send them back an email, and I think it's a great relationship. Don't like using internet for credit card payments? I understand. Send your contribution to The Jewish Hour, any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. You'll be glad you did. Okay, this last Thursday was the first anniversary of the passing of someone, I would call him, a friend of mine. His name was Lazar Zeitlin. He was a young man. I think he was just barely 60 when he passed away. He was, for the last 30 years, the head of the Lubavitch Kindergartens in the Galil and Sfat. Under his charge were thousands of Jewish children who were getting their initiation into education. And he had a budget that was up to wazoo. He really had to spend a lot of time raising money. And when he first took on this task, way back when, like in the early 80s, it was formidable. So he decided he's going to come to New York, and he's going to have a Friends of the Lubavitch Kindergartens of the North of Israel dinner. And he didn't really know a whole lot about how to run a dinner, but he came and he made a dinner, and he had an audience with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe encouraged him greatly and wished him tremendous success. And the Rebbe actually gave him $40 as the Rebbe's participation in the dinner. I'm not sure how much tickets were, but $40 is kind of cheap for a dinner seat, even then. Maybe it was a $40 seat. The week before the dinner, he was in his makeshift office in New York, and he got a call from the Rebbe's secretary, Rabbi Groner. Rabbi Groner said, "I have a package for you from the Rebbe." So he was shocked. The Rebbe would be thinking about him, and this is as I saw recently, the Rebbe received 2 gunny sacks of mail every single day, and he was in charge of workings of every single Chabad institution around the globe, thousands of institutions. And here he is, he's thinking about this dinner that's going to be happening with his one place. So he walks over, he says, "What is it?" It was a pack of $51 bills and a bottle of vodka, small bottle, to be distributed at the dinner. The note that was with it read, "I am giving you nun dollars." Nun is the letter of the alphabet. It has a numerical value 50. Along with this kankan of vodka. Kankan means like a flask. It's an unusual word because normally the normal Hebrew word would have been bakbuk. It's a normal word. But he used specifically the word kankan. So Rabbi Saitlin asked the secretary, I don't understand the meaning of it. He already gave me $40. What's this 50 for? And why the word kankan? It should be bakbuk. So they both kind of like picked their hands up in the air, shrugged their shoulders. On the way home, Rabbi Saitlin was walking along a street in the section of Brooklyn. Brooklyn at that time in the 1980s was not as safe a neighborhood as it is now. His brother-in-law, who lived in Brooklyn, pulled up alongside of him, and they were talking. A guy, he suddenly hears this. The guy from his, he says, "Your money or your life." The guy turns around. Now, Lazar Zaitlin was about 6'4", weighed about 250 pounds. The way the story goes is this assailant towered over him, and there was a gun pointed right at Rabbi Zaitlin's forehead. So he said, he was like flabbergasted, like, "What?" And he reached in for his wallet, but he knew he had the $50 on him. And he said, what did he have in his pocket already? I mean, a couple of bucks here and there. Now, the brother-in-law, seeing what was happening, he threw the car into neutral and then pushed on the gas pedal and erased the engine and honked the horn. The guy shot at the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law throws it into park and peels out of there. Now it's just Rabbi Saitlin and the assailant. He started talking to him. The assailant fired at Rabbi Saitlin. Rabbi Saitlin is still standing. The assailant got totally, completely flipped out. Like, "I just shot you, and you're still standing there. You must be some kind of angel or something." And he ran away. The brother-in-law circled around the block, saw that he was standing there by himself, said, "What happened?" He said, "I think I was shot. I don't know. I mean, I'm still standing here. I don't feel any pain, nothing." They called the 411. They called 911. Immediately, the cops came. I don't know if they ever caught the assailant or not, but as it turned out, the brother-in-law had been shot in the hand, and it was shot in such a way that it didn't hit any vein, nerve, or bone. Rabbi Saitlin was not shot at all. So they had the dinner, And at the dinner, Rabbi Groner, the secretary, asked if he could speak. And he stood up and he said, there's a Gemara that says, if you dream that you see Rab Chana, that means you're going to experience a miracle. If you see Rabbi Chanina, or Rabbi Chanan, or Rabbi Nissen, it means you're going to experience a double miracle. When is that? Is when, not that you see their faces, but when you see their names written out, because each one of those has a nun in their name. And that nun stands for nace, for miracle. So here it is. He experienced three miracles. He said, understood. He was given nun dollars, $50, with a kankan, which has two nuns in it instead of a bakbuk. So there was a miracle that, double miracle, that he was shot, everybody lived happily ever after. And we wish Rabbi Zeitlin a lichtige Gan Eden. That's going to do it for us. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you again back next week. Take care.